Okay, good morning everyone. We are 1 minute late, but you know. I thank you so much for being here today. Today we are having the Energy Game Changer as well as Atlantis. It's going to be on brief us today. Energy Game Changer first. No, Atlantis. Atlantis, okay. We've received apologies from Mr. Mania and member Makamba Bocha. Can we please start with introducing all the officials for the record, and then I'll let the members introduce themselves for the record and the guests at the back and afterwards, just for record purposes. And then we can start with the briefing, as we all know, and then I'll allow for questions and then answer. Okay.
Good morning. My name is Bianca Mpahlaza-Schiff. I'm from the Department of Economic Development and Tourism, specifically in the unit called Cape Catalyst, that manages the Atlantic City Zone for Western Cape Government.
My name is Jan Johnson. I'm branch head for Economic and Fundraising.
Sorry, Korea. I'm the head of Department of Economic Development and Tourism.
Good morning. Fernal Abrams in the Catalytic Infrastructure Unit in DDAC.
Good morning. My name is Jay Trickham. I'm the Director of Energy in the
Good morning. Helen Davies. I'm Chief Director for Green Economy in DDAC.
Andreas van der Weestein, member of the committee.
Ellen Mitchell, member of the committee.
Theodore Bartman, and if the guests at the back could just quickly introduce themselves for us for the record, you can just come to the mic, just press the button.
I'm Mishka Fisher from PNG.
Hello, I'm Rizal Bensel from PNG.
Hi, my name is Lenene from PMG.
Nivali Mohan from PMG.
Mongi Gaddafi, Cape Argus.
Vanilla Mzuka, PMG.
Morning, Sammy Jackson, Research Intern.
I'm Lucky, DA Research Officer.
Location at the heart of the West Coast Development Corridor. We're going to talk a little bit about more about that later. It draws on the ecosystem of green technology already developing in the Western Cape. If you are familiar with the green economy, my colleagues will give you no end of exciting discussion around this, but we have a really exciting and wonderful industry that's starting to grow in the Western Cape around green technology. It's supposed to service the local as well as the export market, specifically into Africa. As you well know, the Africa economy is a massive market for Western Cape and for South Africa. And of course, effectively linking business activity in the zone to a system of research and development, innovation, and focused skills development into the future. Just to give us a clear idea of green technology, well, how we've defined it is things that are lower carbon, more resource efficient, and more socially inclusive. It does mean that we've broadened the scope of green technology. It's not just about solar panels, for example, and the REIPP program, which is initially how this project was conceived of. We've broadened that to say, how do we make sure that all green technology is accommodated for in the SEZ, and also using it as a catalyst to encourage more companies to become more sustainable and green technology aligned. So this is what it looks like. On the one side over here, I'm hoping that you've got your presentations in front of you because that map is not so great on the screen. But you will see that the Atlantis SEZ sits squarely between South Annabelle SEZ and the Cape Town port. And this is what we were talking about, the West Coast development right up into Africa. And that provides some really exciting opportunities for all of the developments as well as for our special markets. On the main map, you will see the zones that are already designated as Atlantis SEZ. You will notice that there are some, there's a break between 1, 2, and 3, and there's another little part of 4. This has provided some challenge in infrastructure, but what we've actually done is using the infrastructure to bring these four pieces of property together through a master plan, which if you're interested in, we're more than happy to send you to have a look at. I think just to explain that this is a very complex project that relies on partnership across spheres of government, including with academia and with our citizens, very important, the Atlantis citizens. On this side, you have our mandating group, obviously the DDET, the licensee is our minister, who will also become the shareholder of this company. We work with WESGROW, that is currently working to develop, first of all, the Strategic Economic Development Infrastructure Company, as well as the Atlantis SEZ Company. What I should draw to your attention is that we are doing these things in parallel, the SEZ Company and the SEDEC Company being set up at the same time, because we don't want to delay anything on SEZ and miss our opportunities with any investors. The idea being that within the next year or so, we move Atlantis into SEDEC, as it was always conceived of as a holding company, and that was the legislation that was so kindly passed by this committee in last financial year. And might I just say, in record-breaking time, which was quite outstanding. This is kind of the SEZ targeted impact. We're looking at 1.2 billion rand per annum by year 15. We're being quite conservative in this. We do believe that by year 10 we can at least break even, which we're quite excited about. And then 3,000 jobs by year 15, again quite conservative. And then again, if you would like any more background information on socioeconomic impact study, we're busy updating it because as you can imagine, this was done for the first application. A lot of things have changed and we're quite excited about new growth opportunities in the zone. I think to tell you what has already been achieved, which we're quite excited about, is 5 new investments to the value of 680 million rand. In fact, just last month we found out that this amount has actually gone up to 700 million rand with our next investor now online. There are 300 direct jobs created, and the majority of these have been taken up by Atlantis residents. And I must stress that it has been a principle of the project to draw from the community as much as possible. The City of Cape Town has provided 240 million rand in upgrades, and that includes bulk and the BRT system. Our own Department of Transport and Public Works have provided at least 200 million rand invested into the roads infrastructure. There has been an Atlantis community stakeholder network that has been established, and then of course the designation in October 2018. Broader support that we provide in Atlantis, because one of the challenges, as you well know, is that green technology is quite a new field across the world. So one of the critical parts to success here is not just that the investor land, but the investor is able to pull on skills and suitable businesses into their supply chain from the community and the broader Western Cape of South Africa. To this end, there is a CEDA incubator that was established with support. It's called Cerebian SMTDC. There are 10 companies currently being supported with green technology enterprise development. Then there is a joint skills program with the West Coast FET College. that, of course, is the colleges in that area, again, trying to make sure that there is a long-term approach to skills development, not just a programmatic one-off. There is a MERCETA funding for skills program in 2018-19 that was 75 learners across NQF 2 for 10 apprentices and 20 RPL. And then, of course, in general, we also provide a career guidance and a youth learner program, a little bit more gentle in that place, and that's provided a skills opportunity. Over the last 2 years, that's been 600 people that have already been supported. And, of course, in general, we also the Western Government in Cape Town Fund Green Economy System Development to stimulate demand in general. I think there are very particular conditions around the NCZ designation. The one is there must be an entity that is a Schedule 3D. The second is it must, of course, comply with all the requirements, even those provided by the Minister of Trade and Industry in giving us designation. And it must have an Atlantis community representative and labor representative on its board. And that was one of those were the conditions of the funding. In this current financial year, we have the, on slide 12, we have the following deliverables for this year. The legislation has been passed, our company establishment documents have been completed. We now are in the month where we have to register our company, appoint our board members, and apply to National Treasury for our listing as 3D. We then also have to finalize our NCZ strategy for the DTI review so that we are in time to make application for our first drawdown of the NCZ fund by March or April 2020. And we have also recently appointed a service provider to implement aspects of projects largely around the skills development program, the enterprise development program, kind of a project management unit that we are using to run the SEZ as we are establishing to kind of help us run the plane while we're building it. On page 13 are our more detailed deliverables. You will see there that we have quite a lot of them and we are hard at work at them. I'm pleased to report that at the moment we are well on our way. I do want to draw your attention to the community stakeholder network, because I know that they have engaged you via email or correspondence. The community stakeholder network has been in development for the last 3 years. It is we used to use Green Cape as our project management unit office. And what they did is put a process together that facilitated a community forum that could accurately or adequately speak on behalf of the community. That process has now led to us having 15 representatives, and it is an ongoing process and an iterative process. Anybody who's worked with communities will know that those people might change, the nature of what they do may change, and how they operate may change. What we are doing is providing them with assistance in the form of company secretary and some project management assistance and administrative assistance to help them start deciding how they want to engage with Atlantis, as he said, but also how they themselves as a community can build themselves, either using the SEZ as a catalyst or how to engage with the City of Cape Town should they require things that are actually in the city's mandate, or even just for themselves to figure out how they as a community can improve their own environment. At the moment, that community stakeholder network is in the process of undergoing governance training. They'll be doing some leadership courses with us, and we also hope to provide them with guidance on how other communities, specifically using, for example, our Saldanha Bay IDZ people, how they have experienced an economic zone when it arrives, and how that can possibly they can use some of those learnings for themselves, just so that it's not a huge shock in learning from the one to the other. I think also the other thing I just want to draw your attention here is our property lease. We are currently in the process for the City of Cape Town to get a lease into the entity that allows us to have the requirement of control met. It is quite an interesting process, and anybody who's been involved with leasing will know that it's quite a complex process. But we are targeting the end of the financial year as well for that lease, and things are looking quite positive. The city is definitely excited about doing this. It's a question of really process and making sure we cross our T's and dot our I's, because everyone can see the benefit. I don't know if you want me to stop now, Chair, for SEZ, because I now move into the SEDEC company establishment. Shall we go forward? No problem. On the SEDEC background, there are new members, so just to remind us, infrastructure plays an incredibly important role in terms of making the region more competitive, making it a lot more investor-friendly, and attracting really the best kind of investor that a region can. A very simple example is our CTICC, obviously. So for us, when we talk about business development infrastructure, it's not really about the roads and the rails, which are really more in the space of the Department of Transport and Public Works. It's about creating infrastructure that enables business broadly. An example of that is the CTICC. What has happened over time is that we have had a number of these projects come up that can support a broad range of businesses. And so we are including the Special Economic Zone as well as the IDZ. And so we had decided we would like to create a holding company, which is standard practice across the country and, in fact, across the world. We're the only province that doesn't have this holding company. And that was the legislation that was passed last year for the Strategic Economic Development and Infrastructure Company. Of course, just to explain that we wanted to, on the one hand, meet the institutional requirements of the economic zone. We wanted to improve asset management of economic development infrastructure projects, so being able to make sure that our shareholder has one space where everything is being managed very, very well for him or her, and right now it's for him, and then to support business by creating a conducive environment. Our end objective is to achieve growth and job creation. These are our processes of establishment. I'm only going to talk about in 2019-20. Our legislation is promulgated, and our entity establishment process will be initiating from November. We've actually done a lot of the hard work, but as I explained earlier, to ensure that we meet our investor requirements in SEZ, that will go first and SEDEC will go after that. Just to explain the SEDEC role again, on the one hand, it's project development. So within the department, we deal with policy on which kinds of infrastructure is worth it and what will give us the best return on investment, not only from a financial point of view, but what can give us amazing jobs and growth in the economy, obviously. And so their role will be project development. Infrastructure specifically is very difficult to do if one just outsources it. So there's some aspects that should remain in-house in government and some that should be outside in the industry. They will also deal with our asset management. There are a number of assets, both tangible and intangible, that the Western Cape government has. Not all of them necessarily should fit with the Western Cape, and so this company will assist us in managing our shares in a way that gives us the best return on investment, really. And then, of course, governance and compliance management. This will assist us in making sure that our representatives on boards are well-educated and well-supported, and that they are able to circulate between boards and we can accurately understand their needs, but as well as supporting them better than we have been able to date. As a start, the SEDEC was never anticipated to be a huge company. In fact, it's meant to be as small as possible. It starts off with only three projects. The one being the Atlantis SEZ, the second one being the Cape House Technology Park, and the last being project development of pipeline. And really where this comes from is a lot of municipalities are asking DDAP for support to exploit their infrastructure or to find ways to get people to invest into their regions. And so this is the kind of process that SEDEC will be going through over the next year to see where are there amazing assets that we are just not optimizing, or spaces and places that we could be using better with municipalities. There are other projects also that DDAT itself has identified through various initiatives, including our sector program and research, that we may want to implement with SEDEC as well. I think just to reiterate that this is a company that is meant to do and to hold infrastructure, which is always a complex space in government, and the SEDEC enables that to happen a lot faster and to de-risk government, which is really why the holding company becomes so important for government. On our deliverables, as we spoke about, we would like the SEZ entity established by the end of October with our application of national treaty. SEDEC entity will need to be established by the 31st of March. And just to say, the SEZ entity established means that by the 31st of March, we're hoping that national treasury has provided us with designation. So the company is up and running in October, but to get the 3D requirement, we have to wait for national treasury to respond, and that's why we're saying only by the 31st of March 2020. SEDEC similarly by the 31st of March 2020. Health Technology Park is another project, and it is on its way. And then, of course, to start developing the project pipeline with DDAP, which they have already done and partnering with the I hope I've covered everything sufficiently, but please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Honorable Nkondla has indicated she's simply running late for this meeting. I'll open up the floor now for any questions. Honorable Sandra Vesta.
Thank you, can I proceed? Thank you, ma'am, for this presentation. Obviously, we have a number of SEZs in South Africa, and it's been my privilege to go down to the Kuga development. And it is clear that designating an area as an SEZ is not in itself the recipe for success. I saw in Kuga a very nice head office for the staff, and I do know that they are involved in many other projects because it seems to me as if their primary focus didn't quite render the benefits that they believed, so now they're branching out and say, well, we've got the staff, we've got the infrastructure, let's do other work or try and put ourselves to good use for other projects. So my quick first question is, how do you, you know, taking into account what I've just said, how do you envisage the Atlantis SEZ to be different? Why would this one be a bigger success than some of the others that we've had? The second one is, recently, some of you may have been here when we had our visitors from Saldanha Bay. I still don't quite get, if somebody, an industrialist should ask me, you know, why must I consider Atlantis easy? Please, won't you just help me by quickly giving your marketing script on that? And then thirdly, I think we must acknowledge that Atlantis was developed and envisaged initially in the days of what they used to call separate development or apartheid, and that it has struggled for many, many years. I think your one slide also included the reference to that. Taking that into account, what has now changed? And lastly, I do know that one of the big industries, unfortunately not in terms of job creation, is the Eskom, can I call it the emergency power, the peak power generating capacity. And are there any plans to convert that perhaps to gas and to put in infrastructure that will allow that facility to be somewhat more cost efficient? Thank you.
Any other questions? I just wanted to find out, you speak about the minister becoming the shareholder in the company. So I just want to find out what type of shares are the shares that in the company, like general shares, or how is it being structured? And where are the shares going and so on. And I wanted to find out about the potential for gas extraction in South Africa, in not South Africa, the Western Cape area. Because also on the DDAS annual report, page 80, it speaks about Project Kulisa's oil and gas growth being dependent on the development of new port infrastructure by the National Ports Authority. And obviously, we've recently found out that Total has identified the possibility of 1 billion barrels in the Mossel Bay, Brolpara area that it could extract, but they need further 3D seismic data gathering before drilling more exploration wells, and that this is possibly a future game changer. So we can maybe just have some more information on the process for that, or if what the potential is there and the possibility of economic growth in those areas. And then finally, page 9 of the presentation. Page 9 speaks about the particular skills that are provided to the learners in Atlantis. In particular with regard to the West Coast FET College, if we could maybe just have a summary of what type of skills these learners are receiving, and are these skills accredited, how does it work, are there different phases of skills, so could maybe just have a bit of a breakdown of that, please.
may I link on to your first question regarding the company and the nature of it? In terms of anti-corruption measures, I have had to resign in the past as a director of certain companies and as a member of a board that hoped to find public funding, because it was said that, you know, I can't be a public representative and obviously then also, you know, sit on an entity which might end up funding this company, even though both of these were non-profit initiatives and not for financial gain initiatives. So my question is just, is there a potential conflict here that this company might wish to have funding from the Western Cape government? Thank you.
I am going to rely on my colleagues for some of these answers. We're going to go through them one by one.
Cool.
I think on Kocha, there are three things that are very significantly different to the Atlantic City Z that Kocha does not have. The first thing is Kocha took it from a build it and they will come approach, so they had a huge amount of property. And they built all of the infrastructure and then they went investment finding. We have a current investment pipeline of 45 people. When you look at our master plan, we actually oversubscribed. The ones that of that 45, of course, there might be attrition. So we actually look at the 14 that are ready to land within the next year, and that is causing our urgency right now. So in that sense, we're a little bit different. I think the second thing that we're quite different on with Kocha, and can I just say we've actually engaged with Kocha, what we have is a wonderful relationship with them, because we have to learn from other SEZs. Their mistakes are things that we have to take into account. I think the second thing that's quite different about Atlantis SEZ is the focus on green technology. Kocha was everything to everybody, and that can be an exceptionally difficult space for anybody to work in, as you probably well know, within government. So by focusing it on green technology, something that's a growing industry and a forward-thinking industry, especially in light of, you know, a lot of people talk about our energy crisis, but some crises also offer opportunities. So in that sense, it's a different space to Kocha. And I think the third thing is that Kocha was set up under IEZ, and this is an SEZ. And the change between those two policies and approaches is quite significant, actually. In many ways, the SEZ program has learned from the challenges that they identified in the IDZ program, and so there's more of an enabling environment, if one can say. Having said that, we are not perfect, and there are always challenges that may arise. But I do think that we do not anticipate taking as long as Kocha did to fill the Atlantis SEZ for the reasons that I've explained above. But we do live in difficult times right now for investment recruitment. We do. It's also one of the reasons we need to get our company up and going, so that while the interest is still hot, we go and get the interest. I think on the industrialists, why would I consider this space and the marketing pitch? I'm actually going to ask my colleague Fernal, because this is what he does every single day, if he doesn't mind talking about that a little bit, please.
Sure. So, thank you, honorable member, for the question. I think one of the key things to sell is the focus on green technology and the ability to link into a wider ecosystem of green technology manufacturing and service provision and research in the Western Cape. So in that sense, there's an advantage. The location of Atlantis relative to points of export, the Cape Town Harbour as well as the Cape Town Airport to export one's produce, and its location at the heart of the West Coast Corridor. So if one takes a longer term vision, a 30-year vision perhaps, then there's a slightly different story to be told around how Atlantis connects the developments around Saldanha with what's happening in Cape Town. And if one adds to that the possibility of deploying our first gas into the economy, for example, at Atlantis, both of new investors and existing investors, for example, then it starts becoming a competitive picture. We will also make every effort to make sure that investors have access to the appropriate skills, and a skills question came up, which I think Bianca might answer more fully
later, but what we want to offer is a package of support measures, skills development measures, enterprise development measures that effectively link new investors into the community, that creates opportunities for community members to graduate from being simply workers to actually being factory owners and businesses that operate in the internet, and that for us is an exciting prospect. We think that we will be able to offer a test space to a certain degree that demonstrates green technology in our practice. So when we build, we will try and build to green building specifications. We will try and offer at least part of the energy requirements in the SEZ from renewable energy sources. We will look at waste management and water management systems in the SEZ that not only moves companies to a lower carbon intensity, but also offers them competitive advantage. So those, for me, are some of the key things to sell about the Atlantis SEZ.
I think I'm just going to ask Joanne to also add to that and to also speak to the question around the Eskom emergency peak power generating capacity and where Atlantis fits into that conversation.
Thank you so much. Okay, so I think my colleagues have basically outlined why Atlantis is in. But I think for us, it's important to understand that the infrastructure is a means to an end and not an end goal in and of itself. So Atlantis was identified primarily because of our focus on the green economy. And Helen Davis is basically the chief director for the green economy. But I think our province has been recipient of a couple of crises. One around the energy, which of course has affected the entire country, and then also the water. And we know that economic resilience and climate change is going to impact heavily on our economy and our society going forward, in fact, worldwide. We need to make our economy resilient, but there's also economic opportunities attached to that. And so, essentially, the Atlantis SEZ is focused about realizing those economic opportunities. Jobs jobs and industries can actually grow and prosper as a result of our economy being more energy resilient, more water resilient, more sustainable, reducing our waste, et cetera, and having sustainable buildings. So that's essentially the focus of Atlantis SEZ. And having said that, given, as Bianca said earlier, but has a particular industry focus, which wants to rely on economic opportunities and jobs as a result of that industry focus, which is what Cooper did not have. And we're very generous. So, given the fact that we have an industry focus, it essentially has a logic of what they call clusterism. So, if you look at Silicon Cape, the entire ecosystem is based in Silicon Valley. And that ecosystem essentially creates a particular magic. You have just-in-time kind of delivery, and so you have efficiencies that arise when the ecosystem co-locates. And that is essentially what Atlantis SEZ is trying to seek to realize. So that's the one thing I wanted to say about that. There are some comparative advantages, making sure that the input costs or the inputs are going to be greener. So if you look at the sort of criteria of how we define green tech, is that your inputs are greener, your processes are greener, or your products or your services as a result of your processes are greener. So if your inputs are greener, you're looking at PV, you're looking at more sustainable ways to actually generate your energy, and so that's why AJ and Helen are very busy around making sure that we can try and land gas and make gas available as a direct energy source to Atlantis SEZ. We are trying to promote the conversion of Ankerlich. At the moment, they burn diesel to provide the electricity. If they convert it to gas, there are significant cost efficiencies that are achieved through that. And we are hoping that Eskom will agree to the conversion of Ankerlich from diesel to gas. And I know that when they come next year, this is one of the things that we are hoping the standing committee would have supported on. Eskom owns Ankerlich, so as a power station. So I think that for us is a decision that they need to make. We understand that they've actually done the investigation. recommendation and the business case analysis, and they just and that it was funded for the conversion. If they agree that it becomes gas, so conversion to gas, it means that then gas will land at Fontana Bay and then will be accessible to the Atlantic. They're essentially looking at bulk infrastructure within the SEZ to provide gas as a direct energy source. And just let me understand why we are incredibly excited about the opportunity is that when companies go through their production processes, they obviously need energy sources. They either get that energy sources from electricity, or they can get it as a direct source from gas or coal or all those other things. If they get gas as a direct energy source, it allows more processes and more industries to actually converge. So for example, if you look at ceramics as an industry, we have all the raw materials, but the problem is that it's difficult for companies to have gas as a direct energy source. That's why we tend to import a lot of our power rather than actually manufacture it here. And part of that reason is because of the lack of availability of gas as a direct energy source. So you would have essentially the emergence of possibly new industries in Atlantis that are green insofar that their production the other thing is also that Atlantis SEZ help realize our vision of Western Cape being the green capital of Africa. And already we've made significant progress. There was a couple of years ago that we were the fastest growing green economy in the world, and we're looking to maintain and sustain and strengthen that going forward. And Atlantis SEZ is a key tool in making sure that we realize that vision. With regards to the corporate governance points that were made earlier, so we will have a representation of PDAC on the board, but the major issue here would be it's a public entity, so it's not quite an NGO, it doesn't sit outside of government. So it will be a public entity, which basically means we own the entity. We did, before, even as we were busy with the feasibility study, we did a detailed report on corporate governance, because before we even established the entity, we wanted to make sure that we had good corporate governance principles applied to any of the entities, both for CEDIC as well as for Atlantis SEZ. And that did a best practice that incorporated the King Governance Report. It looked at how government practices its corporate governance principles. It looked at good practices as well as bad practices, but it looked at maybe failings, because sometimes you learn really important lessons from mistakes rather than best practices only. And so the framework that we have, I think, incorporates the studies and the reports that we have, basically incorporates all of those lessons into the way we intend to govern the Atlantic system. And we're really happy to share that report with you. But essentially, that we do have a role as shareholder to be present on the board, and particularly if we're giving really large sums of money through to the entity. But as a public entity, there's no potential conflict of interest, because we own and shareholders, even in the private sector, generally would have a board representation on corporate boards. I think that between all of that, have we covered it? The focus of the gas is less around the gas extraction, and it's more really around gas as a direct energy source and plugging it into the network. I think what's happening in Mossel Bay is that it is potentially a game changer, but we're talking about it being like a decade or so away. So while one can anticipate in the future, at this particular point in time, it doesn't. It's keeping tabs on it. We are starting to think around possible plans for it, but at the moment, it's quite a long way away.
Thank you.
So I think just the last two questions, the one with what kinds of shares, ordinary shares, they are in BDAT's name. We house them much like we house our CTICC shares, but once Zedek is up and running, those shares will transfer to them, and that's because of the asset management role that Zedek has. And then the only other question that I believe is still outstanding is the skills question, and Fernal is also going to provide you all the detail on that. There's a significant amount of background information we can also send you to, especially send to you further. And I think also just in light of the question around the board representation, just to advise that they are independent from the board. So maybe to give you some comfort, how the board is held accountable in general is through its independence. The Atlantis community members are on there. A Labour Atlantis community member is on there. The DDI has representation, City of Cape Town has representation, and DDAT has representation. So all spheres of government that are involved. I think the advantage of both the minister being shareholder and CEDEC or DDAT holding those shares is that ultimately we have to come back to you and account. And that was a long conversation, you'll remember, around how do you keep both the shareholder and the board accountable to Parliament and to the people. And so that's exactly why that process is the way it is, and it's almost a double check with the CEDEC, because it's not just CEDEC, it's DDAT, CEDEC, and the minister. So just to explain why that does de-risk us and provide additional corporate governance. On the skills question, to whom?
Thank you, Bianca. There are smallish programs that are being implemented at various levels, and the key going forward for the new financial year is to expand the scope of those programs now that we've got a body of evidence that suggests that we are appropriately focused. So in the foundation phase, it's around early childhood development, and what we our involvement at the moment is to fund some programs at early childhood development stage, with the idea that that funnels into the primary and the secondary phase, where we support a program called ICAMVA in Atlantis. And there's a focus on math and science as a link to the green economy that we're trying to develop there. There's a renewable energy challenge annually that sees participation of about 200 learners from high schools in Atlantis, and it seems to be quite a successful endeavor that gets quite a lot of people involved. There's a MACETA program that's nationally funded that looks at enabling people, young people, going to trade and then be directly employed, and that's in the technical trades. There is a challenge with regard to the suitability of what's happening at the FET College, and we're in the conversation with the FET College to ensure that the curricula that are offered are appropriate to what is required in the SEZ. We have done extensive research and analysis of what the investors in our pipeline require, as well as what currently in Atlantis require, and we believe that our skills programs are aligned to that. I think the key thing is to massify, to expand significantly on the number that we use to involve in the skills system.
We'll open up for another round of questions on the skills program.
Thank you.
Good morning, welcome, Colin. In the alternate energy source, because we do know that energy has been identified as one of the risk factors for economic growth, particularly in the Western Cape. Am I correct in saying that what is needed is therefore a new gas pipeline running from Saldanha to Atlantis, and hopefully for that to be extended into, you know, other industrial areas like Montague Gardens and so on. The second one is, you've now said Eskom did a study, but we all know that Eskom is a bit undercapitalized at this point in time. And obviously, in my book, one would love such a pipeline to be a public good, so that, you know, more entities would be able to benefit from such an initiative. Who in your book would be the right owner and driver, therefore, of such a strategic development? Thank you. And then lastly,
thank you. You make me feel good by it. It seems as if my questions are giving you some pleasure. They've not been planted. Those questions haven't been planted. And the last one, can I just say, in my previous life, I spent some time as the head of a technical college, public technical college, and I went to the Atlanta site when I was at the National Assembly on the Portfolio Committee of Higher Education and Training. And I'm absolutely delighted that you are engaging with them. But in my book, those entities also require a lot of support. The problem is that the funding model that they are operating under at this point in time does not encourage them sufficiently to go into highly technical, hands-on, practical training, where unfortunately class sizes are limited by definition. And therefore, if it wasn't for the help of CETAs like NACETA and others, there's just no way in which they would be able to offer the kind of skills training that I believe we in the Western Cape so dearly need. So again, if you could just tell us a little bit more about your involvement and perhaps the possibilities to support our TVET colleges, and particularly then obviously for this morning, the Atlantis campus of West Coast College.
Before you ask your question, I did note your apology earlier for running late, but welcome.
Good morning to everybody. Without much wasting much time, I think I want to follow up on the member on the question of skills. And my question one, I think, is on the partnership, you're saying the conversation with the college. And I'm trying to understand how far are those conversations and what is the scope of that particular conversation. And I'm raising this because I think during the Saldanha IDZ, we saw Saldanha IDZ coming through a similar thing. So you were speaking earlier on about learning from failures or challenges of the previous. So once again, we're back to square one. Now that we've been planning this whole thing, speaking very nicely, we're back to square one. And remember, Atlantis College you're talking about, the West Coast College, is actually the same college. That's that we've got a campus in Atlantis, we've got another one. So is there a conversation about the separate, aren't you having a conversation with the college that is supposedly to be providing skill set that are required for both IDZ, one, the IDZ actually in Saldanha, together with this one, because I remember the company there had, I think for 1 year, could not spend, you know, on training because of mismatch over and above whether the college is able to provide the training. You also have the situation of the profiling of the potential trainees from the community, where now you've got a training program but you can't match. My preoccupation, colleagues, also with my experience in youth development space, is the lack of appreciation by government of actually going an extra mile, because we've been planning and doing all the necessary research, but we always start doing research of social economic profiling of communities only when the project has started. And that is why the community participation will always now be trying to do a catch-up. And I'm raising that boldly here on this, because it's exactly the same thing we had, and I'm listening to you at this stage saying you're still having conversations with the college. And the college that for me indeed is in a very strategic place in as far as those particular economies and local economies in particular. So with all my long-winded statement, I think you get the gist. For me, is my concern about and wanting to understand at what level is this conversation, over and above what the member has raised about the challenge of capacity of these colleges. You also have got a particular reality of those communities where math and science is not necessarily, you know, a subject where you find in terms of performance you'll be able now to get the necessary supply of the learners. That's my first point. My second one will always be a twin to this one, will be enterprise development. Because remember, the interest is not only to have people being employed, you know, as I see a HOD, which I'm sure with my street pedestrian, you know, economics understanding, this is one subject I still have to understand. You know, in slide number 8, we speak about a targeted 1.2 billion per annum by year 2015 as a target, I'm assuming GDP contribution. And then on the other hand, the jobs that we're looking at, the almost 3,000 jobs, you know, we spend so much money, you know. I think if one was just doing a very pedestrian, you say the cost of a job is just too high. So I'm just saying, in relation to this, because we're talking about direct and indirect jobs, my interest once again is the model that you are taking up of enterprise development. And I'm raising this because once again, I see that there is some program of enterprise development that you are establishing. If you can just tell me, in the current, especially in Atlantis, what type of preparation is being done with SMMEs in that area to ensure that, you know, they are competence ready, you know, for the type, so that we don't get SMMEs that are local there, you know, they are predominantly in your OPEX type of project where they submit toilet paper, you know, and all of those things. We want them in the real business, isn't it? Because that's where money is at, you know. So what kind of issues are there? And my last one, Chair, without being long, is that, how have you navigated? I remember when we were doing the public hearing there. How have you, I see you've got a community stakeholder network. How have you navigated the community issues in that? Was one of the biggest problems in South Africa to date about representation as a concept of democracy is that you always have those who are organized, you also have those who are unorganized, who by constitution have got a right. So if you are going to talk only about people who are structured, and I remember this was raised by Member McKenzie on one, I think, the development of ACSA, that is very easy, that you come into meetings and you bring those that are either in a business forum or whatever, a sound call in that community, and then some other members of the community will say, but man, I'm not representing, I'm not a member of any of those organizations, I'm not compelled. So what kind of a mechanism from a governance point of view so that you do not have a challenge, you know, into the future of participation, you know, that is not necessarily reaching out to everybody in the community, and what mechanisms do you foresee to be putting in place, you know, to try, especially in terms of information along the development of the project that you will communicate with the community? Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay, I just wanted to find out, in terms of any legislation or regulation, is there anything the department needs from us as a committee and as the WCBP that can assist legislatively with economic growth, cutting of red tape, encouraging investment, and in particularly in the energy and the green tech industry, whether it is gas or renewables or electricity, or what can we do that you feel in order to encourage that? Because if there's a particular challenge legislatively or in terms of regulation that we can try and sort out so that we can encourage more business to come to the Western Cape, and so we can also hold on to that fastest growing green hub, whether it's in Africa or in the world, what exactly can we do to assist you? Honorable Kotlo?
Thank you, Chair. In light of that, HOD, how have we navigated the space of creating support, SMME support type of initiatives for businesses in the green economy? Because one of the things that I've seen, you know, with SMME development, whether it's funding, access to markets and all of that, the type of interventions that are there are just meant for generalists, you know. So I'm just saying, do we have specific packages we've started to think about as the economic development of how we support those who want, you know, to start at a very low level, you know, to get into this space.
Okay. So
so I'm a little bit unsure about how to proceed because some of these questions are directly in the next presentation, especially about the gas the alternative energy source. So if you don't mind, member, can I hold that over for the next team to talk to you about? And also perhaps some of the green economy, SMME development, broader conversation that Helen and then can also address maybe in there. Can you do it now? All right, cool. So let's go through the rest and then we'll do it now. Sorry, thank you. I think, first of all, the TVs are, as you rightfully say, very, very complex, but we can't ignore them. And we have to try and help to develop them as best we can. So the level of conversation right now is, I think, within the next, by the end of this year, we have to have signed our contract and have to have decided exactly where we're at, how the people will be sourced, how they will be developing, how they will be rolling out. That has to be finalized before the end of this financial year. We have additional information that I'll forward on to you at the end of this meeting because it is quite a complex conversation, as you well know. And in fact, to give you an overall report over our skills environment. But it's a key reason why we're not putting all of our eggs into the TVET college basket. What we're trying to do is crowd in as many sources of skills development as you can possibly get. Just part of what Fernal was talking about when he was talking about innovation, even the universities, we have an inverse problem where they don't necessarily do applied education, it might be more theoretical. So the approach that we've taken on skills is to look at the full value chain, ECD, all the way to placement. And in placement world, what we've done is we've looked at what does the investor need and worked our way backward to start creating curricula for higher education, for TVET, for schools, for ECD, because this is a new environment. Some of these things we ourselves are testing. What we've also done is we are looking at our own programs of development and how we do that through places that are more digitally enabled. So we work together with our own digital economy team that works in partnership under Joe with us. They have initiatives like the ICANN. So we're looking at whether we can bring the ICANN into Atlantis, because part of our challenge is the SEZ is not a panacea. It's not the silver bullet that's going to solve all the problems here. What we have to do is solve for SEZ, but also try and help this community uplift into other sectors. So the three key sectors that we've identified for skills development purposes, and I'm going to get to enterprise development, is tourism, construction, and green tech, actually, with green tech taking the focus. And the reason the other two is because, I don't know if you know this, but in Atlantis there are beautiful dunes. They've never really been exploited properly. They're used for film purposes. We don't really have proper catering companies there. So there's a huge band of upliftment that one can do. Technically, that work does not sit in the SEZ because the SEZ must remain focused. It actually sits in our project called the War Room, the Atlantis War Room, where right now the City of Cape Town, ourselves, and Green Cape are working on, okay, but if the SEZ does come around, how does one actually use it as a catalyst for even more stuff? And in that sense, some of it is skills and some of it is enterprise development. How do we make sure that the investor can get a caterer, can get a cup that's made locally, can get, and that is an enterprise and skills development process. So I agree with you 100%. The FETs are challenged, but we are going to work with them because we need to. We can't ignore them. One thing we are doing is, from an infrastructure point of view, is putting in what we're calling our innovation hub that will help with space. And then drawing on the rest of the green economy space to provide some sort of additional programming in skills development, introduction and awareness, which Green Cape has actually been doing up until now, and we will continue that and formalize it so that you have kind of introduction to green tech all the way through until you can get more and more specific and bespoke. On the enterprise development space, I think part of our previous challenge was really you don't want to start getting companies ready for an SEZ unless you're designated. And you don't want to get them ready for investors unless you know the investors are coming. I think we're there now. So what we are doing at the moment is working together again with our green tech, with our green technology partners, as well as the broadband team, as well as our enterprise development team in DDAT, to develop a program that can help you from when you've got an idea all the way through to when you want to become a large industrialist kind of plan. And part of that is also going to rely on the DTI program of black industrialists. It's going to rely on a whole range of programs that we have to crowd in. And we're actually in the process of developing that, so you're a little bit ahead of us. But what we have tested in the meantime is making sure that they can get onto our Jump platform, for example, that makes it accessible and easy for them to find out how to start a business. There is already supplier readiness programs that we are putting into place with the City of Cape Town. How do you become procurement ready?
how do you become ready to not only be procured by the SEZ company, but by an investor? And then I think the third project that has been really significantly helpful is the Boost project that is run by our Enterprise Development Program. Many of our Atlantis companies have actually applied for that money, and of course they're in the process of evaluation, so we'll have to see how that works out. And then of course last but certainly not least is our small SMME, the Department of Small Business, who have already said that they would also like to assist, and we have to explore with them what that means, because we haven't had that conversation. And then I think with the navigation of the I'm going to leave it to Joe to talk a little bit further about the SBIDZ and the skills versus demand issue. I think there's a slight advantage we have over SBIDZ, which is that we're not in Telbana. We are in Atlantis, a lot more accessible to the city of Cape Town, a lot more accessible to other skills, not just in Atlantis. So we do, we in that sense, Telbana is far, you know, from where a lot of people live. Atlantis, not so. That doesn't mean to say that we won't have our problems on supply and demand. But it does mean that we pull on from a broader pool. Our actual challenge will be, how do we make sure that the Atlantis people get the benefit? And that's what our focus is right now. And then I think where it comes to have the navigation of the community issues. Wow, Mamun Kwaka, you have it on the nail. This is so complex. How we've decided to go forward is each member represents their own sector. They must work with that sector, provided with support from us in terms of project manager or a community manager, company secretary, and administrative support we're going to provide to them. And then some incidentals, you know, like people have costs when they're trying to get to places. But what we're envisaging is that per sector, as you well know, there's labor, there's women, there's children, there's everything, that they come up with what do we need in our sector, what do we need as the CSN, and what can ASEZ therefore bring, and what is other stuff that we need to find in other ways. That's how we're approaching this. Because we want them to be a strong partner, not a dependent, because that, I think, is also part of our community challenges. So it is a process that we are embarking on. I think you were asking earlier about help. We would definitely benefit from help from even when you engage with the Atlantis community, is encouraging them to find their own way of standing together, their own way of representing themselves and finding a cohesive response. We do not only work through the CSN on a communications level. This is critical. We also have open platforms that we will continue to have. We will also still be putting through information through the local newspapers and the radio stations, and people are always more than welcome to contact us, and they know that at the department, and we will respond directly. In fact, we've recently had an amazing turnaround with one of our community members, Mr. Stoffbach, who you will also remember was extremely upset about a lot of things. Mr. Stoffbach has now become a strong proponent of the Atlantis SEZ, which we're very excited about, a testament to how much work has been done in this community through Green Cape and Professor Brian Williams and ourselves in the city of Cape Town. And Mr. Stoffbach and I are saying, I'll host spaces for you to come and talk to the community. So we're positive, but cautiously so, and we take your notes on these things, because I think we all understand that it's one thing even now while the community is what it is, it'll be a completely different story in a year or two when you have inward migration and all of these sorts of things. But that's how we're approaching it, and we are, if there's one thing that this team is committed to, is that investment is not just investment for investment's sake. Investment is there to grow for South Africans, and in this case that happens to be Atlantis Capetonian citizens. I think then also to talk about the last question was the SMME, the broader green technology SMME, which can I hand over to you, Helen?
Sure, thanks very much. So just briefly, DDAP, part of the funding that we have for the green economy, we use to fund what we call green economy ecosystem support. And that ecosystem support essentially is used for sector desks that cover energy, both utility-scale energy and small-scale energy and energy services, as well as water and waste. And those sector desks aim to help businesses of every size. Most of the businesses that come for support are SMEs. And helping them anything from accessing to finance, helping them to understand markets, creating matchmaking with potential markets where possible, identifying skills needs, helping to build up skills gaps or provide matchmaking support to skills, etc. Also providing networks of sharing best practices so that SMMEs don't have to reinvent the wheel, but they can learn from others, learn what works, what doesn't work, etc. And then just to also flag is, in addition, Department of Agriculture funds a green or sustainable agriculture sector desk, and that supports SMMEs as well as larger companies, but again, primarily SMMEs. And then lastly is just to be launched in November, so it's hot off the press, is going to be something called the Green Outcomes Fund, which has been set up by UCT's Bertha Centre, the World Bank, Green Cape, and WWF South Africa, and that's particularly aimed at providing capital for small businesses in the green economy. And that's going to be anything from 100,000 rand right up to 50 million. So it really is looking at the potential smaller guys. It's pulled in a number of very exciting players in the finance sector as well. So it's been treated as a test case, but building off international models that have used a similar approach. So really trying to look at how to find the capital to really help SMMEs. And then the last thing is there's certain areas like the waste economy, which a key role we play is, we're busy playing, and that's not just DDATs, it's with partners such as DEDP, so Environmental Affairs and local government, is how do we unlock, for example, access to municipal waste, to business waste. Because at the moment there's a huge informal sector in this space. There are a lot of thriving businesses, but that potentially aren't legal. But yet we have a waste crisis and our landfill sites are filling up. So it's how to unlock and change the waste regulations so that they actually have access to something which is a resource which can bring in income and which can create substantial jobs. Thanks.
Just last thing, just to also note that while my colleagues will talk broader about the energy space and a whole range of other things, just one thing we've also done with our infrastructure on Atlantis CCZ is to look at how we can use the infrastructure that we are developing for investors to not only support the new investors that are coming in, but the existing investors that have been in Atlantis all along, including looking at their water resource efficiency and their energy efficiency. So everything we're doing right now is not only to just to make sure that what we are aiming for in the SEZ works, but also that it can work for the broader community and area of that.
Okay, because I think a number of questions posed around energy alternatives is probably best placed to be answered by the next presentation and discussion. So is that okay? Can I just say, and this is just the last point, which I think Bianca had raised, is there are obviously differences between Atlantis SEZ and the Saldanha Bay IS. And in this, Atlantis is an advanced, in that there had been an industrial area. And so there's the community is familiar, I mean, there's a sort of history of artisans in the area. And so they would probably have a less of a skills challenge in terms of take up because people know what a boilermaker is, they know what a wild turn is. Whereas in Saldanha Bay, they didn't have that advantage. So there is a skills challenge, but we think that it'd probably be less of a challenge than what we experienced with the Saldanha Bay IDC. But through you, Chair, if the next speaker could speak about the green around the energy, and then they'll be able to respond as well to the alternate energy sources and also quite a bit about the gas. Is that okay?
Are there any other questions I would like us to break for just a few minutes before we hear the next presentation? Anyone? No? Okay. I think let us break for 15 minutes to 10:25, and then we will then hear from the energy game changer. So that's okay with everyone. Okay? Perfect.